is a burning thing. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
Hello and welcome, people. Welcome back. This is No Pants, No Secrets without our dear friend Fram, just the two of us, lone cowboys in the world of Johnny Cash. This is me, Adashko, a.k.a. Adashko Stewart, and with me, Acacia W. Mason.
Yes, indeed, it is good to be back. Sad that we don't have Fram. However, the world will continue turning. We'll continue to produce good humor and good podcasting.
Okay, so in today's podcast, we will be talking about real life a real lot. You know why? Because it's World Cup time, and I'm Polish, so I have to like soccer.
I'm really enjoying the soccer too. My family hails from England, so I'm a big England supporter, and I am a little upset with our goaltending situation. However, I'm definitely uplifted by the fact that Germany was beat today, so I feel very good about myself now.
Yeah, I also feel very good about myself, too, because Germany got beaten, and our lovely Volksdeutsch Klose got a red card. See, if he was in Poland, he wouldn't have gotten that red card.
Well,
you know why? Because Poland wouldn't be at the World Cup, see? Same goes for Podolski missing that penalty shot. Right?
That was, you know what, that was the highlight of my day. And I know there are probably a lot of German supporters in the game who will probably lynch me for saying that. But
Dr. Payne is probably just slicing his wrist right now.
I was going to say he's cutting himself. The good doctor is in need of some medication.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to Germany on the 28th, so I don't know how it will look there, but if they will get out of the World Cup, or if they can fall out, I suppose that's going to be morning time in Germany.
There is it's interesting. There's still every good chance for them to advance out of the group stage.
Yeah, there's still a chance for Australia, and I really want them to advance.
Yes, that would be
go Socceroos.
Yeah, absolutely, the Socceroos. You got it. Yeah, it'd be good to see them advance out of the group stage.
I remember 4 years ago they've been cheated out on that penalty shot against Italy, so they deserve it.
Yeah, they got robbed. That was unfortunate. And speaking of Italy, that they lost their goaltender. I know they call him Buffon, but I prefer to call him Buffoon personally.
Yeah, Buffoon. Well, you know, yeah, that's the same thing it means in Polish, actually. So.
Nice.
Well, you know, the last time they lost their goaltender was the Euro 2000. It was also Mr. Buffon. And then Toldo stepped in and gave him the silver medal. So I'm not sure if they're really in such a bad situation.
Yeah, you can never count the Azzurri out. They have one of the best teams going right across the board. And it's hard to argue with what they can do.
Right now, I'm really only impressed with Argentina so far, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, Argentina's had a good run. They're doing well.
Yeah, and before Wednesday, I was thinking that it'll be Spain versus Argentina in the final. Right now, I'm thinking more Argentina versus Brazil because Spain isn't showing at all.
Spain is really surprising me. I think they're surprising a lot of people because that is not the way I expected that team to be playing.
Well, especially, you know, I watched their friendly against Poland a few days before the World Cup. They won 6-0, and Poland is no San Marino. I mean, those guys can't play. We have some guys in the German league, and our goalkeepers always mess those two up. Play in Manchester United and Arsenal. Those are not, you know, some San Marino guys or Uzbekistan. Those are serious players, and they got their asses kicked. So,
yes.
I was really expecting a bit more from Spain, but I suppose only really two of the real favorites won their first games. This is Argentina and three: Argentina, Brazil, and Germany. But Germany already stopped showing against Serbia, so I'm not really sure where
this
is going.
You know, there's a lot of groups right now that are wide open, and it's going to be very, very interesting because there's going to be a few interesting little underdogs getting through there that people didn't anticipate getting through, and there's going to be some folks in for a bit of a surprise.
But when it comes to being happy, I'm also happy that France got their asses kicked against Mexico. I mean, they drew the white flag right there.
Yeah, absolutely, and again, another surprise, right? I mean, you wouldn't expect France to lose like that, but. Hey, that's part of the fun.
We'll come back to World Cup divagations as we see how the English game is going against Algeria. Yeah, I hope they won't fail this time.
That would be fatal if they were to fail.
Yeah, but please no goaltending blunders.
Yeah, please. And you think about our choices, though. I mean, you know, we got Green in net there, right? Who, of course, had a bad game, but I'm not sure that I'm overly impressed with Mr. David Calamity James either, so that's you know.
Get Seaman back. Oh no, he had a few blunders too. maybe you should borrow this Polish guy's Dudek, Fabiański, borrowed.
The knock on the English team all along has been the fact that their goaltending is questionable.
And they never play well in penalty shots against Portugal.
That's right. Never, ever.
I remember, during the year 2004, I was traveling to Canada on a British Airways flight. And it was England against Portugal, and they had live scores right there. You could ask if you didn't want to watch the game when Canada... you could ask one of the flight attendants what was the score, and one guy in front of us asked the flight attendant and was like, "Well, Beckham missed a penalty, Portugal won," and all I could hear was "Motherfucker."
Yeah, that was pretty upsetting because I have a real dislike for Portugal, and part of it is because I have a real hate for Ronaldo who left Manchester United, so.
I mean, he's like Sidney Crosby when it comes to diving.
Oh my God, it's horrible! This guy—he should get an Academy Award for some of the dives this guy pulls off. And the thing is, I watched him play at Manchester United. I watched him weekly, and it was the same thing. I used to sit there shaking my head, thinking, "Oh my good God, this guy."
That's one thing I hate about soccer. I mean, it's the dives.
Yeah.
Every time, I mean, I saw so many people just begging for a yellow card for their opponent or just trying to get that penalty. And the problem is that when there is a penalty, it's often not called because the refs just can't trust the players.
It's true. And it's so easy to dive in that game. I mean, now mind you, and again, no offense to any of the Portuguese people who play this game, but I find that Portugal makes an art out of diving.
There's like a big three of dives, and that's Italy, Brazil, and Portugal, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Like you see them, you just barely touch the cleats or something like that. They go down as if somebody kicked them in the head.
Yeah, I remember 2002, Brazil versus Turkey, big game. Rivaldo sets up for a corner kick. He gets a ball from the player, a bit of a hard kick ball, but nothing really serious. He gets it in the leg. Catches his face, starts screaming his lungs out. The ref comes up, a red card for the Turkish player.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And no video replays, another problem with soccer I have. I mean, for example, that call against the U.S. was honestly unfair in today's game.
Yes. Yes. Although...
I don't like the U.S. national team. I think they should stick to baseball.
Yes,
and American football,
and I'm, and I was quite happy to see Slovenia tie them. Although it took to the 82nd minute for the Americans to tie that game, I was actually hoping that they were going to lose 2-1. But even a tie is fine because so long as England beats Algeria, I'll be comfortable. Because my biggest concern coming out of the group stage is I do not want to see England having to play Germany in the immediate future anyway.
I don't want them playing Portugal in the immediate future, really.
Well, yeah, that too.
It's just some sort of bad charm.
you know, it's true. There's something about playing Portugal that just seems to set the English players off, that they just all of a sudden they just cannot seem to get the job done. Although, well, there's a time for change, and maybe it'll change this time around. We can certainly hope anyway, but I don't know. It's
okay. So we had the World Cup talk. We're going to come back to this, of course. And now we hadn't had an NPNS since way back. So, well, we had a Stanley Cup winner, and I guess we should comment on that, really, because...
Oh, the Stanley Cup. Did the Toronto Maple Leafs win by chance?
Well, you know, they, as I said a thousand times, they even lost their draft pick.
Well, yes, but in all fairness, we did get Phil Kessel, and I'm happy with that. And watch for Berkey to trade Thomas Coverley and pull down a nice first round draft pick along the way. But truth be told, I mean, yeah, we probably could have had a shot at Taylor Hall or whoever the hell.
Tyler second. I think it's Tyler Seguin will be second.
Yeah, that's a good possibility. And yeah, we could have had a shot at that. But then the question becomes: do you take a proven NHL player right now, or do you take somebody who could be good in the future? I mean, we've all seen what happens there. We all remember the Ottawa Senators selecting Alexander Daigh, the can't-miss prospect, right? Even first-round picks are questionable, so they're not.
I think first overall picks can be questionable. We'll see Patrick Stefan.
Yep.
I mean, I only remember him for that empty net miss, really. Nothing else.
And that ended him. But you're right. Patrick Stefan is another classic example of how these picks can go funny. I mean, Eric Lindros, yes, played a number of seasons. Great, great player. But
then
his career...
Scott Stevens came along and
killed him.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not now in terms of the current Stanley Cup winner, I'm not surprised that Chicago won. I mean, that team.
Neither am I, but I really regret the Habs didn't get into the finals. I mean, honestly, they deserved it.
Yeah, they did. That's really unfortunate. Because I'm not a big Philadelphia Flyer fan. Well, actually, I hate the Philadelphia Flyers. But
I don't have anything against the Flyers. They played a nice postseason, but they had an easier way than Montreal, except for that Boston series, but I think that Boston kind of let them win it. I mean, when you're leading 3-0 in the series, you should win. When you're leading in Game 7 by a margin of 3 goals, you should seriously win it.
I agree. Yeah, well, there's certain things that are supposed to happen. No, you're absolutely right, and it was quite a shocking series. They say
I still think that of all the players in the playoffs, only Halak should have gotten the MVP, really.
And it's interesting that they go and trade Halak, right?
Right.
You know, this is the guy that you're right. I mean, is Carey Price the guy that they should have kept? I don't know. I kind of look at both ways, and I'm thinking, well, you know, Halak isn't a bad player. I mean, the guy, you know, a couple of bad games here or there, but I mean, Carey Price.
The guy's a clutch player. I mean, that's Carey right. Price has a potential, probably that's why Montreal decided to keep him. Halak, well, I know he's a tournament player. He's everything that Alex Ovechkin isn't, in a way.
Yeah. And somewhere Derek Harlan just had a heart attack. You're absolutely right. I mean, there are certain players who are great in the regular season but crumble in the heat of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Halak is one of those guys that, you know, went about his business through the regular season. But when the heat's on, that guy, you can count on him. Although we've seen Carey Price fall apart in a few of those situations. So whether or not this kid is the right guy to hold on to, I guess we'll find out in due time. But I don't know.
Well, the Blues have a nice little chance at the playoffs now that they have good goaltending. I mean,
oh yeah, that was a very smart move on their part, no question.
I bet the Habs just want more presence and on the ice rather than goal, because the Price is a good kid. I won't say he's bad, but I don't know. I think he still needs a bit more concentration to step up in the key moments when Halak made the big save.
Yes. There's no question. I mean, Carey Price is a world-class player, right? But you're right. I think it's going to take more time. It's going to take more experience. And Montreal fans are going to have to be comfortable with the fact that they've still got a kid in net who's maybe not ready to carry a team. He's not Patrick Waugh, right? He's not going to carry your team to a Stanley Cup final yet. And he may never. We don't know. We'll find out in time. But he has all the potential to do it, but he's just not, in my opinion, ready to do it just yet.
Okay, to close the hockey topic, who is going to be the Stanley Cup champion next year? Leafs not included.
Oh, I was just going to say the Toronto Maple Leafs. Interesting. It depends on what the Hawks do in the off season in terms of salary and so on, salary control and so on and so forth. I think you can't take anything away from them. And you just mentioned the St. Louis Blues and picking up their goaltending. I think that makes them a very dangerous team. And I will also say that flying under the radar are the Los Angeles Kings. That is a team you want to keep your eyes out for.
Okay, so one more thing, the draft. Who do you think that will benefit the most? Will it be Edmonton that practically got lucky because of their sucking, or it'll be Boston, who made a pretty good trade, I must say, because they still went into the postseason and almost got into the conference finals, which is pretty good for a team that lost one of their key players.
I agree. Edmonton's going to do really well in terms of the draft. Obviously, when you've got that selection, it's kind of difficult to screw it up. So I think there's nothing but win there for them. The Boston situation. Yeah, I mean it's a two-way street, right? They're gonna pick up a premier quality player in the draft, probably NHL ready. But the thing is, they had a glut of talent that they were able to move, so they were smart. They moved away a guy in Phil Kessel that they deemed expendable, and they're gonna pick up a guy who's younger and again doesn't have the experience or hasn't proven himself yet. But I think that's still a good move for Boston. I also think it was a good move for Toronto because the fact remains they needed some scoring. They needed a top quality player. They got him. They gave up a draft pick to get it. Yeah, that kind of sucks. But I think we're gonna see Thomas Caberle dealt at the draft itself, and I think we'll see Burke move into into the first round and pull away something. I can't see him not doing it.
Okay, so I'll just start with my pick. I told you not to take Toronto, so I won't be as much of a jerk to say Edmonton because I don't believe in it really, but I would certainly see one of the three of the Red Wings, the Penguins, and four. Red Wings, Penguins, Capitals, and Blackhawks contending for it. I would say that would be my conference finals.
Yeah, no, I would agree. The Penguins are going to be perennial playoff, performers so long as Sidney Crosby is there. The Detroit Red Wings have always had a dynasty type team. It won't be long before they're back in action and doing some serious damage. The Capitals, so long as Ovechkin can figure out how to lead a team in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm wondering. When will he? Because really, with all the respect to his talent, I mean, he has a lot of talent.
Yes.
But he'll never be better than Crosby until he can lead the team in the postseason. I mean, you can get the President's Trophy all you want, but compared to the Stanley Cup, it's worthless.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, individual recognition means nothing in terms of the bigger picture being the Stanley Cup. And until Ovechkin, again, manages to translate that talent into team play, the Capitals will always be a team that was, always a bridesmaid but never a bride.
Okay, so now to your public. Well, we had some sad days in Canada. We had Marius Corleone and Tyler die in unfortunate circumstances. We had angry mob men, almost dying. Very fortunate of him to be back. We wish him well, of course. And, I think that had a really big impact on our society. I mean, I think we all learned to... we all saw a new aspect of the game, and we all kind of realized that whatever character you play in the game, however you act in the game, is not who you are in real life, and we should really respect the people in the real life for spending their time to make this game really what it is for us.
I agree. If nothing else, I think what we learn from experiences like this is that for all the game playing that we do and the role playing and all this other stuff that goes with that, as I've said numerous times, at the end of the day, there's somebody on the other end of that screen who's participating and trying to make the environment that we all enjoy that much better. And whether that's being cast as a supervillain, or the national villain, as Pimp Dollars calls himself, or whether it's TFD, the resident, abrasive personality, or the Marius Coriolones of the world who were just damn funny, but damn intelligent at the same time. I mean, you know, and certainly angry mob man who brings a lot to the table as well. It's a real reality check when you step back and you got to think to yourself, wait a minute, you know, these are real people. And, you know, we have to sometimes keep that in mind.
We also didn't make a podcast since the presidential elections. And, well, day one, I'm happy.
I'm very happy with that, too. I mean, I'm sad to see Fram leave for the circumstances that he left. I think it was great, though, that if he never manages to get back to the game, at least he left fulfilling something I think we both, both you and I have said numerous times, we always thought that one day he would be the president of the country, the prime minister, and he did it. Congratulations to him. And I think Dade's doing a phenomenal job. I mean, the problem is there are some prime ministers who are extremely hands-on and like to have their face in the spotlight all the time, and Dade just doesn't run an administration like that. He's brought people into cabinet roles for their strengths. And he lets them go about their business and do their jobs while he goes and handles the things that are exclusively reserved for the prime minister. And he gets a lot of heat for that because people tend to think that he's complacent or aloof, but that's just not the case. I mean, he's held cabinet meetings. He's keeping in touch with us on IRC and through private message. You know, it's just he's not micromanaging. And to be honest with you, as a cabinet minister myself, I prefer working with a prime minister who doesn't micromanage me.
Yeah, I think really what was irritating for many cabinet ministers during the times of Fram as one of the higher ups, usually the chief of staff, I think was were the reports where they really needed all the time. I mean, I think biweekly you should talk, but you shouldn't make an official report. This is a game, we all have lives, and you can see if someone's doing something really.
Yeah, I agree completely. Certainly. There, you know, even in lieu of a written report, I mean, Dade's philosophy has been, you know, we've got IRC, we've got this TeamSpeak option, we've got ways to communicate. We don't need to type out, you know, TLDR reports that to send in when we can just hook up on IRC and everybody has a chance to speak at a cabinet meeting and boom, you know, it's all taken care of. You're right, because you're right. At the end of the day, it is a game, and you know, if you make it so that being a cabinet minister is a very frustrating thing, you're going to find that the most talented people available are going to just say, no, I'm not interested in the time commitment.
Yeah. Okay, so we also had the party president elections recently, and, well, the CPF is a real surprise, I suppose. J.B. DeVinis taking taking the spotlight once again after numerous of drama quits. Well, I'm not one to speak on that, but
me neither.
Yeah, but really, after a large amount of different controversies, he comes back and takes the majority of the vote.
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, though, in talking about the CPF, I think we would be wildly remiss if we didn't give some props to Addie Lawrence, who, love him or hate him, the guy worked really hard with that party. He's done a lot of things behind the scenes and things that only CPF members are aware of. It was interesting because when I saw that Wilhelm Günther was running for the party presidency, I was actually quite excited. I've known Wilhelm ever since I got to eRepublik. He was one of the first people that I had contact with, him and TFD and whatnot. And I really thought, you know what? Yeah, that's the right guy for that party for right now. So I was a little surprised when JB kind of came out of nowhere, if you will, announced that he was running, and then got in by such a clear margin. And I know there was some, you know, some scandal, of, you know, activity about, oh, he was, you know, the CEP had their hands in his election and da 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 da.
But not only the CEP. I'm going to be honest with you all. I voted for JB just because he's a great friend of mine, and well, I really wanted to see him. Mm-hmm. When I don't feel guilty, really. I had people vote for from other people's vote against me too. So
no, and there's no, you know, you do what you need to do, or whatever the case may be. And at the end of the day, though, the thing that the CPF members need to recognize is, look at the depth of talent that you have there. When you've got the likes of Addie Lawrence, Wilhelm Günther, and JB DeVinis all vying for your top spot in your party, wow. I mean,
I don't think you can go wrong, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, depth of talent.
It's more of which style do you prefer? Do you prefer the hard work of Wilhelm? I would dare call Addie's rule an iron hand rule of Addy, or do you like JB's settle down attitude?
Absolutely. And I mean, again, when you've got that type of depth of talent, you have a premier party, and you know, it's some people. And the thing is, when you do have three very different personalities like that, and I would agree with your analysis, I would say Addy is definitely more of an iron fist, a crack the whip type of thing. Wilhelm is a put your nose down to the grindstone and get work done. And you're right, JB is more of a laid back, social type of approach. And you know, when you've got those three different personalities on display running for office, inevitably somebody's going to feel robbed, somebody's going to feel cheated, and you know, they're not everyone's going to be happy. But if you haven't visited the CPF forums lately, he's done some pretty impressive stuff so far. And when I read his party presidency message and some of the stuff that's been coming out of his newspaper, I think he's got his stuff together. I don't think we can really, you know, there's not a lot you can say negatively at this point.
So basically a lot has changed in Canada since we made the last podcast. So now I guess I should give you the idea, the chance to throw your ideas on what we should talk about this one.
You know, I think one of the things we should touch on is the fact that we still need a third hand here. It's unfortunate that Fram is gone. It would be great to, you know, to find somebody else to join us. I think we should certainly open up the door there. I mean, I know we've spoken before. I would even if we did some guest hosting for a little bit and get a feel for, you know, for who we like and how people respond to that, I would love to have Dr. Payne on here as a host at some point.
Yeah, the Deutsche Dr. Payne.
If nothing else, because we could have a third different accent on here.
Jawohl.
And that was part of the mystique with Fram. I mean, you had the Romanian accent. We had, you know, your Polish accent. And, of course, I've got my my Canadian thing going on.
I only have a slight Polish accent, really.
Oh.
Normal Poles speak like this.
You know, it's funny. I still hear it, though. I hear it every time, every single time.
Yeah, I know most people from Canada. I hear it myself. I mean, I try to get rid of it, but sometimes I know when I speak like loosely, it's usually less of an issue than when I record something. I kind of feel pressured and then it comes out.
So let's, if we're going to turn the topics around and have a bit of a discussion, we just talked about the presidency, the prime minister election, the last one. Interesting when you look at the current round of individuals who've put their hand up to be prime minister, as I see Duke Leto and I see Iron Man and I see yourself and Jeff Lav. Wow. I mean, you talk about the CPF having an all-star team running for party presidency. This is going to be a very, very interesting prime ministerial election when you look at, again, four incredible individuals who all
and perhaps Dade if he decides to run for re-election, though.
Right, and I didn't include
never Dade. Forget that incumbent.
Yeah, I didn't include him because he hasn't announced yet. But if he does, good heavens! I mean, wow! I think it's going to be a very tight race because there's again some very strong strong attachments from different people to different candidates. So it's going to be very interesting.
I mean, if Dade runs, it's probably going to come back down to Dade versus Iron Man because Dade has a strong membership support in the DAL. But otherwise, I think it's a death match between me and Iron Man and perhaps Duke Leto right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting, too, to see Duke Leto running because I've heard rumors that he is considering leaving the game in August, I think he said. I hope he doesn't do that. I don't know. Duke gets a lot of flack for his articles being kind of whiny or whatever the case may be. But you know what?
I do that. It's my fault.
No. You know what? And I hear it from a number of people. But here's the thing. Duke has a lot of experience. And love him or hate him, he's one of these guys that does bring something to the game. From the social aspect anyway. You know, he's a great person to have around. I'm kind of sad to hear that he's potentially leaving.
Everybody can leave at any moment, really. That's what we learned from our recent tragedies, that you never can be sure. You can never be sure if, well, you'll see the guy log in on the next day, which is kind of really sad in a way. Well, that's the separation that the internet brings. You never know what's going to happen the next day, and you can't learn until somehow it reaches you through the family, the friends, or whoever knows him in real life, right?
Right.
That's one of the problems. But if Duke Leto leaves, it's really unfortunate because despite all of my criticisms against him, I mean, I kind of dislike his attitude towards, I don't know, writing, towards his problem-ridden ego, I would say. But
right. No, I
don't want to be like mean or anything, but seriously, he does whine, and I don't know, he kind of makes that insecure image of himself. But he's really a cool guy when you talk to him, when you joke around with him. I mean, usually it's more, I gotta admit, I just like doing some little trolling. It's not, you know, serious trolling to hurt somebody. Instead of trolling to have some laughs. And, you know, Duke Leto, if you're listening to this, it's nothing personal. I mean, I don't know you in real life, right? You're probably really cool in your real life, or if not, you're just a geek like me, so it's cool too.
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you. Any of us who can get on for hours at a time through the daytime to play a web-based game, you got to have a certain streak of geekiness to you, so nothing wrong.
Well, you know,
that.
I'm an IT student. I'm a nerd and a geek. That's a bad combination.
You changed your avatar, by the way, too. Is that I assume that's your own picture? Yeah.
Yeah. The previous one was my own picture too. It just was Obama sized.
Right. I noticed.
But
you
no,
changed.
But I cut my hair. I actually cut my hair. That's true.
I was going to say, I thought, something's different there, but that's very interesting.
Yeah, that's actually me coming back from an AC/DC concert.
Right. I forgot you mentioned to me once before you were going to that concert. How was that?
Awesome. And Wednesday I was at a Metallica concert, actually the big four of thrash metal in its entirety.
Good heavens. I'm surprised you still have your hearing.
That's why I speak kind of loud today.
Hey, we would be remiss if we didn't at some point talk about V2. Now that have you had a chance to jump into the beta testing end of that yet? Or
no, they're just lining me up for ages. But I don't know. Probably will end up logging in when they let everyone in. I guess
it's. I'm sure you
saw the screenshots and the videos, though, and it looks exciting.
You've seen some of the articles that are coming down, too, I guess. I've noticed a lot of articles about V2 circulating, a lot of them focusing on, you know, about how this works, how that works. I've just started a series that doesn't look so much at the mechanics of it, but more of how the evolution of the players is going to occur, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, my point being, this whole V2 thing is pretty pretty crazy, I got to tell you. When you get a chance to beta test it, you'll see for yourself. It's definitely going to change the way we do things in a lot of ways. It's again going to make things very strategic. Just if only because we've, you know, you got to divide up those 24 hours out of the day and so on and so forth. So.
No, I think it's good that the admins are making progress. I mean, everybody I heard making opinions about V2, it's better than the previous, than the version we have right now, and that's a positive one because from what I heard and from what I saw, basically, because I came in just after beta, many people hated the new system in V1. And I don't see that right now, which is pretty, pretty good, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, one thing I will say for certain is that V2, anybody who's playing V1 right now and saying to themselves, God, how do I keep myself interested? You know, like you can literally two-click your way through a day, right? You will not be able to do that in V2. V2 is going to definitely provide opportunities for those people who don't participate in some of the more social aspects of the game. From an interest level and keeping you, you know, active, there's a lot to do, a lot to consider, and a lot to think about, and it changes every day, right? So it'll keep the interest
level. Some people
level.
Suggested that it also might keep your hand busy because of the nice little pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And there goes the nice rating.
We crossed right into explicit. Jeez, we kind of hung out there for a little while. It took us about 35 minutes.
Well, no, but I said motherfucker somewhere around.
Yeah, well, that shit. Now you've done it again.
God damn. No,
I got to tell you, though. Yeah, you're right. Some of those images in that V2, ooh, boy. That's, yeah. You'll if you can manage to keep both hands on the computer, you're doing well.
No. Yeah, and the question is, how will the new president, whoever he'll be, even if it will be me, deal with it? Because it's really hard. I think that this might be the hardest presidential term in the history of Canada.
Yeah, I agree.
Because in most probably, I mean, mostly I think it's going to be like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yep.
Even if you have an entire plan, you never know when the bug's going to pop out, when the French suddenly attack Nova Scotia again and out of nowhere a server fails. You got to be ready for those things. And I think it's going to be hard to go through the first, really first step. This will be the first term, full term under V2 probably. And it will be really hard to control it because it's really randomness at this point.
Yeah, the incoming prime minister at this next election is certainly potentially going to be facing one of the biggest challenges of any administration, and that it is very. I mean, I don't think there has been any set date yet for a final migration to V2. At least I haven't heard of any set dates yet. However, you have to think that it's really close. Now it's just time. The change is imminent. So every administration that comes in needs to come in thinking to themselves, holy crap, I might be the guy or the girl who has to lead this country into V2.
Are you suggesting CODA for president?
CODA would kill me if she ever heard me say that. but I'm thinking Sarah Droz one day might be prime minister. And so...
Yeah, but watch out because the former Polish MOFA, who also wants to be president, hates her.
Oh dear.
Stabuda. He's really well. The thing is that they had a big discussion during the whole France peace settlement with Poland and Spain business, and he eventually almost got her fired from our cabinet because. Of some baseless accusations were later cleared out.
Wow.
But I mean, he was really pissed.
Well, whoever ends up leading the administration into V2 will definitely have their hands full because there's going to be a lot to consider. If nothing else, this whole business of moving tickets and the fact that they're all distance rated. I mean, these are all little things that are going to dramatically impact how we do business in this game. I mean, our regional war is going to become much more important. I mean, we're not going to be able to just automatically travel globally with a single ticket. You're going to have to buy certain tickets to be able to head to China to participate in Lion King. So maybe...
My God, this is starting to be like real life.
Yeah, exactly. It really and truly is, which is why I think that things like little regional wars and whatnot. So, you know, Europe might have its hands full fighting with itself, and it's going to be a little more challenging for North American countries that form Eden to participate in some of these bigger battles that might be taking place halfway across the world, right? So lots to consider in that respect. And that says nothing for the strategic thinking that's going to have to go into this hex-based fighting. So it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, and the admins also said that the next thing they're going to take care of after V2 is a political module, actually. So now this is the part what I'm doing. Yay!
Yes, I'm actually very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for some, you know, I think I once suggested to the admins that they should make, this is my idea, they should make a so-called constitution module that would make, that would let a country, based on the congressional votes, establish how many parts of parliament does it have?
Yeah.
When does it do elections? What is their system? Are they autocratic or maybe are they, fascist?
We need a monarchy.
Totalitarian, stuff like that, you know? Is it a monarchy, right? All that stuff. And, and perhaps a referendum system so that people can also voice their concerns about congressional matters.
Yes, I completely agree with the referendum system. I'd, along with the impeachment piece, wouldn't it be nice to have a revolution option as well? So if you have a case where, the government wishes to change its form of governance, there should be a means of doing that through a revolution.
You should have, you should come into the hexes and take Napoleon with you or Robespierre and...
I do like the referendum idea, though. That'd be brilliant. It'd be a great way for an administration to gauge interest in a particular piece of legislation, and that'd be very powerful, very powerful.
And I think the admins will probably consider that, because I think, first of all, there should be different government systems, because honestly, it's kind of boring that we have like a zillion democracies. I bet Pakistan would be happy if they could announce DO lifetime dictator.
Let's have an oligarchy. Oh, wait, we already have one. Oh, wait, no, we had one.
Old boys club.
Yeah, an old boys club. Oh, dear. Now,
I remember when Jacoby came out, his first campaign slogan, unofficial, was kill the old boys club. I mean, seriously, that was the main idea. That was actually the biggest power of his campaign. Getting all those new guys to go against this old boys club, against people like Brooke, Alex Reardon, and I don't know, Augustus Baldwin, Dominic, those people who ruled Canada for like 5 months before Jacoby came along, and say, well, they're the old boys club, we're the new guys, let's go. It was like kind of like a hippie revolution that really worked.
And then he became part of the old boys club.
Well, then he became a symbol of the old boys club.
Yeah.
And now I feel like the old boys club, so...
It's because you're getting old.
Yeah. Well, 18 in 3 months.
48. You're 48, remember?
Yeah, 48, of course. Over 48, because 48 was... 48 was actually 8 years ago. I'm 56.
You're 56. There you go. So you're even older than me now. That's right.
I counted my time in Canada. Oh, shit. I started in January. That's 6 extra months.
Yikes.
That's 6 times 4. Man, I hate it. 24. Oh, Jesus.
You see?
That's 72. I should be dead. Well, I don't want to count how Iron Man... this is going to be a grandpa battle in the presidentials, I suppose.
You have to get your walkers out.
Yeah, it's Iron Man is older than I am. He's like 100 years old.
Oh, good heavens. It's going to be very interesting at the next
that
election.
That explains why I have so much trouble regaining wellness.
Well, probably, you see...
My character probably has trouble pissing, too.
Use a catheter. It's easier.
Experience?
Yeah. No. I don't have any experience. I do have some good news to share with you, though, which I know I shared in IRC, but we'll share to all the listeners who join the No Pants, No Secrets podcast. iTunes has picked up our podcast along with Northern Exposure. It's all lumped under one name. However, you can find the individual podcasts, and iTunes is now subscribing to our feed. And every time we do one and it gets posted to Podomatic, it's automatically going to find itself published on iTunes. So people who are listening to this and who use iTunes or have an iPod or whatever the case may be, can now subscribe and have these podcasts automatically downloaded to their iPod or iTunes or both. So you can not have to worry about ever missing a single episode of Adashko, myself, or anybody else that joins us. You'll always be able to catch us, even if you miss the newspaper link.
However, I warn you, you shouldn't listen to this in the metro, the subway, or the bus, because people will look at you weird when you start laughing out of nowhere.
Exactly. And, of course, keeping with the theme of making sure that certain things are labeled explicit, it was interesting when the iTunes people reviewed all of the podcast submissions. It was funny that every single one of the No Pants, No Secrets podcasts received the beautiful red explicit tag.
Okay, guys, so if you're 18, please don't listen to this because we say bad words, okay?
Exactly. So all you listeners in eCanada, if you are under the age of 18, please turn the volume down. Don't listen to us any further.
Let's just say 16, okay? Let's just say we're German for now. Because I shouldn't be saying this stuff. I mean, I'm probably, you know, if some American Republican will come up would listen to this, he would say, "Oh my God, this child is the Antichrist himself." Yeah.
You know, parental advisory: the following program contains.
the following program contains
coarse language,
mind fucking. Okay, so now I'm going to check how the England versus this is probably going to be old news for people listening to it, but how the England versus Algeria game is going. 0-0.
Oh. Yay. Well, they better...
But it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. They better do something about that, though. Let's hope for a better result.
Yeah, go England, go.
Yes, that's right.
Well, you know, the English, when the English didn't manage to qualify for the Euro 2 years ago, a lot of them actually supported Poland. So go England, go.
Beautiful. Absolutely. They're going to win the whole thing this year. I can feel it.
Yeah, you can feel it about the Leafs too, though.
Oh. You know, the funny thing is, I wasn't even born the last time the Leafs won a Stanley Cup.
I wasn't born when the last time the Oilers won the Stanley Cup. So,
but the problem is, I'm slightly older than you, so that means the Leafs have been cupless a little longer.
Well, you know, at least my dad was born back then. He was 7.
Oh man, I feel old. Oh, it's good to get back on the air again. I miss these little back and forths. It's not as much fun podcasting on your own. It's much more fun when I've got somebody else to roll with.
Yeah, but I still miss Fram. It was always fun laughing at him when he was this quiet.
I know. And his girlfriend would be heckling him or whatever the case may be, or you know, she'd be after him about the fact he won't play Farmville and all this other business.
Yeah, and instead he was just saying what talking to guys with a weird English accent.
Yeah. Yeah, I do miss having him around. Although if he does happen to tune into this or pops in because he's too clicking or something, I do hope everything is going well. And hopefully he will make a return.
Yeah, Fram, if you come back, you always have a spot right here.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know. I don't think I have anything else today.
I don't know. We can sing Johnny Cash or something. Did you see the dedication I gave to the radio?
I did. It's going up today. I saw that last night. It's been keeping me busy, though, these emails I've been getting. You wouldn't believe it, Mike.
Well, don't worry. I managed a radio once, too, and after a year, I just couldn't take it anymore.
It's been
In all fairness, I didn't have the automation you have, so you're lucky.
Yeah, it is true. I'm very, very lucky.
And I had to deal, like, with... like 5 angry DJs. So.
Wow. That's not so much fun.
Well, they were cool guys, but they'd miss some shows and stuff like that. However, the cool thing is that we had, I think it was 40 listeners that went to the one time, and we were like really proud.
Wow. That is, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
It's not easy, though, running, even with the automation, you still got to keep an eye on things. And like I said, you know, you get 18, 20 emails in a night, and, you know, you got to go track down the music and format it and get it uploaded and blah, blah, blah. But it's, you know what, it's fun. I enjoy it tremendously. Obviously, people are enjoying it. That's all that matters to me. So.
Yeah, I think I well, live broadcasting, I think, is the most enjoyable thing I did in my entire life. I mean, even this pod, it beats even this podcast, especially that I have a way cooler voice in Polish. I have a deeper voice in Polish, and it's like every 5 minutes I got a saying, whoa, sexy voice.
Nice. Yep. So you're using a synthesizer.
No. No.
No sexy synthesizer for you?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Just normal voice. I'm not, I don't afford, I can't afford things like that. Sorry, man.
It's much better when you can do it yourself. You know, speaking of which, I was just thinking of synthesizers. It's too bad we haven't got Scorpius back on here again.
Oh yeah, he was talking really quick and coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
Coffee.
I keep okay. Her. I love it.
Okay, so I suppose as soon as Scorpius emerges from anywhere, we will pull him out and his mom too.
Yeah. I think he's busy riding the magic pony.
Okay. So I suppose we don't have any more things to talk about. Let's refresh. Maybe England got a goal somehow.
Crossing my fingers.
Oh, shit. Algeria got a goal.
Oh, come on.
Nah, I'm just kidding. It's still nothing. Okay.
I was just about to have a heart attack.
Well, you know, I always wanted to say that they scored on an empty net, but but what's the difference with English goalkeepers, really?
Oh, ouch. Although I don't think I can disagree. You have a point there.
So well, I think English goalkeepers, I think Robert Green was a bit like Vesa Toskala.
A sieve?
No, but seriously, the biggest Vesa Toskala in soccer is when you write down Tomasz Kuszczak, you'll see one goal he let in that was kicked in by the opposition goalkeeper.
Wow.
From the goalkeeper's penalty box.
That's pretty shameful.
That's Vesa Toskala style.
Oh, good old Toskala. Gotta pick
up. Yeah, he actually started being good once he took off that Leafs jersey, you know? Oh.
Much like everything in this world, as soon as you take the Leaf jersey off of it, it manages to do well.
Yeah. I bet if you trade Caberlet, he suddenly becomes a heart winner.
Exactly. He'll win a Norris trophy or something along this line. That's what'll happen. That's always the way it works. All right.
So, thanks for listening, guys. It's kind of weird without Fran, but we made it.
We did. And hopefully we can be pleasured with the presence of a guest next time around. I'm going to say, Dr. Payne, if you're listening to this, I would love to have a German accent on here for something different. So make yourself available, my friend.
Yeah, Deutsch ist schön.
I don't speak a lick of German, so I think I'm...
I just said that German is nice.
Oh, beautiful.
Which is like a total lie. However, they have good beer.
Yes. But they don't have good soccer teams.
Well, you know, better than Polish. And Canadian. Well, actually, Poland is only like five places away from Canada, in front of Canada in the ranking, so I'm really getting afraid.
It's still five spaces ahead.
Yeah, but we're behind Mali.
Mm.
That's sad.
Yeah, I can't...
Especially that Poles consider soccer their national sport.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
It's like if Canada was in Division 2 in hockey. Losing to the Poles.
That would, at which point I'd just jump out my window. It'd just be a lot less painful.
Yeah, you probably live on the first floor, though, so.
This is true. Oh. Well, we made it. We survived our first episode without Fram.
Okay. So, thanks a lot for listening, and see you next time.
Take care, E-Canada. It has been a slice.
Stay sexy.
Love is a burning thing.